My beautiful people, you now tuned in to the Big and Bright podcast. It's your boy, Bright, along with your man's Big. All I can say is, what a hell of a weekend we just experienced, man. Straight
man, opening
up.
Weekend in the NFL.
Yes, 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 yes.
Fourth swing of things in the college football situation.
Yes, great. Sir. Yes, sir. Also, baseball has changed their rules as well. We'll touch up on that. Adrian Peterson got knocked the fuck out.
Damn!
I mean, folded like a lawn chair. Jesus Christ. We'll talk about that. We'll also be covering a couple things that's going on. You know what I'm saying? The WNBA. Looks like the Las Vegas Aces is up 1-0 in that series, man. You know, for those that are paying attention to the WNBA news, it's a lot that we want to cover, man, but we definitely want to get into it. Let's jump right into it, man. This past Saturday, man, we had quite a few of the upsets, man. What the hell was going on in college football? Notre Dame. You know, I hate to say it, man, but Marcus Freeman, man, and what he got going on. Could he be on the outs after he just signed that big contract?
It would be unfair if he was on the outs. I don't think so, though. I think they're gonna give him time, man. You got to give the dude some time to kind of, you know, bring his own players in. I mean, he's working with Brian Kelly's players, mm-hmm. right? So his system, whatever he's trying to do, you know what I mean? They're not gonna be running at full potential at this point in time. It's gonna take some time for them to kind of get things squared away, but. You know how Tyrone Willingham was done in Notre Dame, right? After 3 years, he was out of there. That's not a long enough period of time to kind of, you know, get your program established. So, you know, man, if he's on the outs up there, man, that'll be jacked up after two games. It'll be literally like a situation with the movie Remember the Titans. Lose one game and you're out of here.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, I mean, I looked at it and how the national media tried to spin it. Okay, let's just think about it. The last three games he's coached, Notre Dame has lost. And they're saying that he's the only head coach to lose his first three games. Only. So I'm looking at it like, what narrative are they trying to spin, you know? I mean, like you said, we go back to the Ty Willingham ordeal. You know what I'm saying? He was coaching at Notre Dame. And actually, he had Notre Dame in the top five, if I'm not mistaken, during a time where, you know, college football was dominated by the likes of Florida State, Miami, all those cats. And he upset Florida State. I think this was back in 2001. He upset Florida State. And then, of course, you know, after that, he had a down year, and they booted him out. Got him out of there.
Charlie Weiss.
For Charlie Weiss.
Charlie Weiss was trash.
Absolutely. It was just, you know, the whole lore of him coming from the New England Patriots, you know, the back-to-back Super Bowl champions, you know what I'm saying, possibly dynasty, whatever. But you also got to understand that those weren't the same players in New England that was out there in South Bend, Indiana. You know, and it's getting to the point now where, you know, Notre Dame, I mean, if you want to compete in today's college football era, not only at the time where before NIL, it was an issue with Notre Dame and them getting the recruits with the academics, but I believe Paul Hornung was telling them they need the black athlete. And it sounds racist to say, but this is the honest to God truth. You need talent, you know, and who are the talented players in college football? It's your African-American athletes, the brothers. So if you can't get them because you want to stick to a high academic regimen, I mean, I understand, then you need to get out of Division I football. And this was told to the University of Michigan as well. You know, you want to keep pounding your chest, then join the Ivy League. But the thing is, they won't do it because their main base and their main source of revenue, no one's lining up around the corner to watch Notre Dame basketball. No one's lining up around the corner to watch a debate club and Notre Dame hockey. They're lining up around the corner from east to west, from one side of the country to the other side of the country to watch Notre Dame football.
Right.
And if you can't make that product competitive, then by all means, you might want to look into something else.
Now, what I will say is that, you know, he's bringing in some talented guys that rival the recruiting classes of Clemson and Alabama now, right? So this class that's going to be coming in, his first real class of his players that are going to be coming in, you know, are going to be some of these guys. Now, he was able to save some of the guys that decommitted last year after Brian Kelly quit, right? So Brian Kelly, let's put it in perspective, because the national media is spinning that thing, you know, he lost his first three games. Brian Kelly quit on this squad right before the bowl game. And absolutely, then he had to go in and take care of the bowl game, right?
He had to do damage control.
Exactly. You was in that whole situation. You went through the interview process all before the bowl game. And then you get that job, and now you got to prepare for a bowl game. So did anybody think he was going to win that game? No. And then you start out, and your first game is against, what, the second team in the nation?
Yeah. Number two team in the country, Ohio State.
Who is loaded on
And you only lost by 10.
And you only lost by 10. You got up for that game, right? So then
had a letdown. It looked like an emotional letdown against Marshall. They just wasn't up for the game. Like,
exactly.
Whatever.
Exactly. And they probably put so much into the Ohio State game.
Yeah.
You know, because that was on the road at the Horseshoe, primetime television. And then here you come back and you got Marshall. And guys just wasn't ready to play the game. Now, that's on Marcus Freeman. He's going to have to get those guys ready. Right? That's what you have to do as a coach. So I give him blame on that. But at the same time, I'm not going to blame him for losing to Ohio State.
Exactly.
I'm not going to blame him for taking over and losing that bowl game either. That's bogus.
Exactly. And
he is. I think with the recruiting process, 5-star guys, 4-star guys, he's getting a couple of those guys. And they said that their class that he's recruiting this year, right now, it's right up there with Clemson and them. So if he's able to recruit like that, which everybody seems to think that he's able to do, then all good, because he did save some of those guys. Some guys was like, okay, Brian Kelly's out of here, so I'm going to decommit. And he went back to the table with those guys and was able to bring them guys back on board. So, you know, you got to give him credit for that. And you just got to let him work his thing for a couple of days, see how it goes. Not a couple of days, but a couple of years.
Yeah. He definitely needs a couple seasons in order to get his things in order.
Absolutely.
As far as recruiting and everything else, you know, it's definitely going to take time. It's not going to happen overnight, people. So, you know, get off my man Freeman back. Let him build something foundationally from the ground up. You know, some programs, you know, it took Nick Saban, you know, 2 years.
Yeah.
It took Nick Saban 2 years to get things together, you know, before he built that powerhouse that he built at Alabama. Speaking of Alabama, transitioning in a great segue right into it, the University of Texas, mm-hmm. Texas University took Alabama to the woodshed and came up just short.
Yeah.
Just short. Now,
just short.
To me, I think that this is a rebuilding year for Alabama. I don't understand why everybody think that they're going to be world beaters this season. I truly believe that if Quinn Ewers don't get hurt, Alabama's toast. And they was done in the water.
He was killing them.
Absolutely.
That dude was carving them up when he was in there, man. It was crazy. And, you know, he got hurt in the first quarter. So they played the majority of that game without him and almost won that game. I mean, they led the whole way, basically, right? And, you know, if it wasn't for some late game heroics from Bryce Young, that spin out of the sack there, that saved the game. And then he threw it down the sideline. Or no, he scrambled out and ran it, right? Yeah. So, you know, that late game heroics right there really saved the bacon for the whole day, man. Because if it wasn't for that, you know, they would have lost. If he took that sack right there and the dude came free, and he was in his clutches, if he took that sack, it would have been game over. Alabama takes the L.
Yeah, absolutely. I just, you know, from what I look and looking at this Alabama and Texas game, Alabama wide receivers cannot get any separation. That's going to haunt them as they move forward and get deeper into the schedule. I see them taking a couple losses this season. I see them losing to Texas A&M. I see them losing to Georgia if they make it to the SEC championship. Hell, I see them possibly getting beat by Florida or Kentucky. If they run up against Florida, well, you know, Kentucky took care of Florida this past weekend too. So I you know, depending on who Alabama faces, Tennessee is no slouch.
This NIL is going to level the playing.
It's leveling the playing field everywhere, and this is why Nick Saban didn't like it.
That's why he's been crying. Dude, been crying for 9 months, man. We 9 months into the year.
Yeah,
he's been crying since January. He's been crying. And he's been crying nonstop.
You know, the thing is my thing is like, okay, now everybody's gotten on the same playing field that Alabama's gotten on. Because, listen, again, I keep telling y'all, nobody's going to Tuscaloosa, Alabama just for shits and giggles, okay? They coming out the bag. They coming out their bag for them, man. The top recruits, everything. There's nothing in Alabama to make someone want to be there. And people want to say, well, oh, it's the guaranteed fact that you'll go to the NFL. Nah, that don't guarantee that. You can make it to the league from anywhere, especially if you that caliber type of player. If you're good enough, if you're good, you're going to make it, regardless.
A young person drives through Alabama, and all you want to do is get out of Alabama.
Exactly.
If you're driving through, and I'm saying a young person, so I'm not, you know,
even ain't nothing but Walmarts and white girls. That's it.
It ain't nothing out there, man. It's boring. The life is boring. Everything is boring out there. There's nothing.
Slow.
It's nothing.
And you mean to tell me that you're getting these boys from California, Miami,
Chicago,
Detroit. You're getting these boys from everywhere.
Florida, Texas, everywhere.
Atlanta. You're getting them from everywhere to come to country-ass Tuscaloosa. Nah. Somebody been paying. And it's boosters that's been paying. And Nick Saban isn't going to come out and say, we paying. But y'all was paying. And that's how you was getting them there. That was securing you your W's. Okay, now everybody's gotten on the same page. Perfect example, Texas with the NIL and their offensive line. Every offensive lineman that's recruited and signs with the University of Texas gets a $50,000 NIL deal off top. So once they start paying that money, once that money starts circulating, people are going to be like, you know what, I don't have to go to Alabama because I'd rather be in Austin, Texas than Tuscaloosa, Alabama. There's more to do. With 50 racks in my pocket.
And you see it happening. That's why you see some of these upsets, man. I think Texas A&M was upset.
Yeah, Texas A&M was upset. Texas A&M was upset by Appalachian State, who almost just nearly upset North Carolina the previous week.
Mm-hmm.
So Texas A&M took that L. Another SEC school going down.
Number 16 in the nation.
Yeah, number 6 in the country goes down to Appalachian State. Another shocking upset.
Yep.
Another shocking upset. Wisconsin being taken down.
Washington State.
Yes.
And you know what? That's funny because we talked about Notre Dame at the beginning, right?
Yeah.
Now, Notre Dame, they lost to Marshall. But let's be real. Which one was a bigger upset? The loss to Marshall or the loss to App State?
The loss to App State.
Yeah, you're the number 16. And you absolutely. They're unranked. And you know, Marshall is an upset. It's a major upset. It's a major letdown. But at least they have some type of credibility.
Right.
You know, well, App State has credibility, too. I'm not going to say they don't
number,
have credibility.
They upset number 5 Michigan about 13, 14, 15 years ago.
Right. You know what I'm saying. So,
right.
You know, it is what it's. And it was funny because who was it? Was it App State? I think it was Appalachian State. Their Twitter handle.
Yeah, sent that tweet out. Said thanks for the 1.5 million.
1.5, appreciate you.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
I was dying when I saw that. That was funny.
That was too funny. You know, that was definitely funny as hell. You know. Also, you know, jumping into it, I felt, you know, we rolling on over to the Kentucky and Florida. I truly felt that. Florida was, you know, just because they beat some of these schools were grossly overranked and the preseason rankings like Utah and other schools of that nature. Notre Dame to be one of them. But, you know, the fact that Florida beat Utah, then Florida goes from being unranked and jumps all the way to the likes of being number 12 in the country, only to be popped the following week.
Yeah.
By Kentucky. And it's like, who's doing these rankings, man? Who is doing these rankings? Because there's no way in hell you're going to tell me that Utah should have been top 10. I don't care what nobody say. You know, there's no way you're going to tell me that Notre Dame was top 10. I don't care what nobody say. Some of these schools were just grossly overrated, man. And then you get to the point where you're checking it out now, and it's like, you know, all these upsets are happening and everything else. But are these really upsets, or are these teams just really better?
Right.
You know, so whatever. Right. You know, USC beat the brakes off of Stanford, man. And them damn receivers that USC got, man, they got one from Pitt. They got another one from, I think it was like somewhere Georgia Tech. They got one from Pitt, one from Georgia Tech. They got another one from, USC is loaded. And they back. They got Jerry Rice's son out there at wide receiver.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and he was putting in work against Stanford.
Oh, wow.
Stanford starting running back was Emmitt Smith's son, E.J. Smith.
Yeah, I saw the E.J., yeah.
Yeah, looked just like his dad, wore the 22 and everything, you know. But they got the hell beat out of them Saturday. Them wide receivers from USC and that damn Caleb, that quarterback from USC, they was lighting the scoreboard up, man. I'm talking about he was going deep. And them boys couldn't be contended with. Number three, number four, Jerry Rice's son was number, I think, eight. Jerry Rice's son is number two.
Okay.
So two, three, and four. Yeah. You know, those boys was lighting it up, man. Lighting it up.
Balling.
All the stars start coming back. First, it started with Jerry Rice, Ronnie Lott Day on the sidelines. USC is going to go back to being that school, that powerhouse, that. It just seems like college football is better when USC is good and all the stars are roaming the sidelines again. Snoop.
Yeah, it's cool, definitely, when they're good. Like when they had their run with Pete Carroll and things like that. And I mean, it was like a rock star type of vibe, right?
Right.
But are they going to be able to do that when they transfer over to the Big Ten? See, it's a lot of people that think that, you know, they'll be able to wreck shop in the Big Ten.
I'm
one of those people that's like,
I don't think so. The elements.
You don't think so?
The elements play a role in it, man. You know, it's different when you're playing in, you know, 70, 80 degree weather all day over there in the Pac-12. And then you go from 70 and 80 degree weather when you playing home games to 20 and 30 degree weather when you playing in the heart of Lincoln, Nebraska, or you playing in Ann Arbor, or you playing in Columbus, or you playing in East Lansing,
and
it's snowing. It's different, but you know, USC probably looking at it like we used to it. We play Notre Dame late November anyway.
Yeah,
but it's different when you're doing it once a year as opposed to doing it, you know, 6, 7, 8 times a year.
Right, and that's a rivalry game, so it's always a little different when it comes to a rivalry game.
Yeah.
You know, another thing that I think about when they go to the Big Ten is there's big boys. The trenches are different in the Big Ten than any other division, right?
Yes. A lot of your pros on the line, offense and defensive line,
Wisconsin.
Come from the Big Ten. Yes, sir.
Yeah. They come from Wisconsin, from Iowa, from Michigan State.
And folks, if you don't believe me, look at the top defender in the NFL right now. First, it was J.J. Watt, Wisconsin. Then his brother, T.J. Watt, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Look at your quarterbacks, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Big Ten quarterbacks. You know, look at it, man.
The Big Ten ain't no slouch, man.
At all.
So they're going from the Pac-12 to the Big Ten. That's a drastic change because Pac-12 has always been soft, in my opinion. Soft, kind of finesse, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And now you're getting in there, you know, with the big boys, and it's going to take some adjusting. I don't think they're just going to hit stride and take over the league or anything like that.
Facts.
I think they're going to have to battle their way through it and try to adjust.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's definitely going to be either a learning curve or some growing pains when they take that transitional turn. Now, of course, you know, I forgot Penn State, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, you know, it ain't the Sisters of the Poor anymore over there in the Pac-12, man. This is competitive football. Very competitive football. Again, like I said, you got Ohio State, you got Michigan, you got Penn State, you got Michigan State, you got Iowa. You know,
from top to bottom, they're the best division in football, in my opinion.
Yeah, Wisconsin. You know, it's
some it's, people would say the SEC, but I believe
those
games are more difficult than that.
Yeah, I believe from top to bottom, the Big Ten is the most competitive conference that's out there. You know, I mean, you don't have. Granted, Ohio State, Michigan, they. You know, the last 20, 30 years or whatever. But now you can't even say that because Penn State done won it a few times.
Who's the pushover? It's not that many pushovers down there.
You got
Nebraska. You got Purdue, Illinois, Wisconsin, Iowa, Minnesota, Northwestern. Those are all good teams.
Yes,
right?
Sir.
They're all battles. You got Rutgers. They're probably the worst, right?
Facts.
Then you got Ohio State, Michigan State, Michigan, Maryland, Penn State. And Indiana sometimes.
Right. But Purdue is known for a good upset every now and then.
Absolutely.
Every now and then. So That's crazy, man. Transitioning. Stepping away from college football for a minute. Now, the major leagues did a big time rule change that was voted on Friday, right before we got into the weekend. It was kind of swept under the rug due to the fact of football being, you know, back and everything else. And what people got to understand is in this country, football is religion. Okay. Football is king and will always be king.
Always.
Always. So they made some different rule changes here in the MLB to speed up the game a little bit and to make it more appealing, because they feel like baseball is a dying sport, which I can say it is amongst the youth. You know, it's still pretty big now with those who grew up with it. You know what I'm saying? You know, your grandfathers, that's why they call America's pastime, baseball, whatever, whatnot. But amongst the youth is getting...
compared to where it was.
It used to be.
Yeah. It's
getting kind of stale.
Lower.
Yeah. So they orchestrated a new pitch clock, shifting rules, and larger bases. So with this pitch clock, I guess the goal with the pitch clock would be to cut out as much downtime as possible, especially when there aren't runners on the base and the pitcher is standing on the mound holding the baseball. This has been tested in the minors for a few years, and there haven't been any major complaints. So this is the breakdown of it. According to the rule changes, the clock will be 30 seconds between hitters. The catcher must be in his box and ready with 9 seconds left on the timer, while the hitter has to have both feet in the box and be alert to the pitcher within 8 seconds of the clock starting. Pitchers can step off the rubber, which will reset the clock to 20 seconds if there's a base runner, and 15 seconds if there isn't. They are only permitted to do this twice per batter. According to MLB, similar changes in the minors reduced the average game time by 26 minutes and coincided with the increase in stolen base attempts and stolen base success rate. The stolen base numbers may also be related to the increased size of bases, as detailed below. We'll get to that in a moment. Now, the shifting rules. That's the second thing that they passed.
Right.
The shift has been a hot topic for years, notably banned the shift discussions. Heading into Thursday, the league batting average was a paltry 243. That's awful. And while a decent portion of that lag from high batting average seasons is strikeouts, which nobody... Now, again, the strikeouts in the MLB has gotten way higher. Way higher. And nobody wants to test the pitchers for juicing. But when the home runs took off, everybody wanted to test the home run hitters for juicing.
Yeah. So, I don't...
I think it's either pine tar. These pitchers ain't gotten, you know, genetically better.
No, you know? I don't. I think the pitching is worse. Well, I think guys can throw the ball harder as a whole, but I don't think they have control over the ball like they used to, like Greg Maddux and, you know, David Cone. These guys that can control their pitches, really hit their spots in the strike zone, right? They don't have that control. I don't see that from pitchers nowadays.
Okay.
I see higher velocity. So, you know, you have a bunch of power pitchers. What I see is that people are so focused on this exit velo and the launch angle, and they're trying to smack home runs. The batters are.
Yeah.
I don't think the batters are good batters. Like back in the day, you had batters that hit for average, right? Mm-hmm. And nowadays, you don't have that. You just got guys that want to go up there, you know, and I'm trying to stroke a home run every single time I'm at the plate. So you're going to strike out more when you're swinging for the fences like that.
Fact.
So that's how I see it, you know.
So with this line of thinking, the MLB is thinking that it goes that, you know, defenses must shift less and more balls will find open spots, leading to a higher batting average on ball and balls on play in the infield. So per the league.
BS. I think that's bull.
Oh, absolutely. So per the league, upon release of each pitch, there must be a minimum of 4 defenders other than battery with both feet within the outer boundary of the infield dirt. Upon release of the pitch, there must be 2 of the 4 infielders on each side of second base. The team must designate two infielders for each side of second base, and they cannot switch. For example, a team can't find a stud defender. I'm sorry. A team can't have a stud defender move back and forth bases upon the handedness of the hitter. So you can't switch. Let's say you got a left-hand pitcher and you got a dope-ass shortstop. You can't move him to the left side of second base.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You got to have somebody else over there. I don't get this part, which is stupid to me. I don't get it, but whatever.
To me, they're taking strategy out of baseball.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? If you got hitters that can't hit, then learn how to hit. Learn how to spray the ball opposite field. Learn how to hit the ball over there. You know what I mean? I'm not going to give you a handout because you don't know how to hit. We need more hits in the game, so let's make it more difficult. They always find a way. All of these leagues, they find a way to hinder the defense that's brought to the table. And they give all the rules, they bend these rules in favor of the offense. And to me, I just don't understand it. Because, you know, if you got, like, I'll give you an example. The Cubs, right? That's my favorite squad. I've seen them do this shift change where you have a guy and you know he's going to hit it to between first base and second base, right? He's going to hit it over there. So they'll take Nico Horner, who's a really, really good defender as shortstop, and they'll put him in between the second baseman and the first baseman. So now you got three guys on that side of the field. And he's almost in the grass. He's almost in the outfield. And he's making plays in the outfield, like short plays in the outfield, able to throw people out going to first from short, right field. So, you know, you got that situation. I think it's bogus. I don't like the helping batters situation. Teach these people how to bat again. You know what I mean? Make the game exciting in that way. Because you had guys that could hit the ball. Tony Gwynn, guys back in the day that could really hit the ball. Pete Rose. You know, and you don't even have to go back that far. Look at somebody like Frank Thomas who can hit the ball, hit good for average, and hit home runs. Now you got guys batting 220 and hitting 35 home runs, and that's considered a good player.
Right.
You wouldn't be on the team back in the 90s like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? Now, with that, they also are increasing the base size from 15 inches to 18 inches. And a list of reasons for the change, among them that are players' feet are much bigger now when the bases were designed than they were back in the day. What? Okay. Increasing the action on the base paths, making it easier to steal bases or take the extra base on the hits, and to possibly make it easier for players to stay on second and third in close plays instead of having long replays to see if a player barely came off the bag for a split second. What the fuck? Okay, I guess I get the pitch clock because the game needs to be sped up. I get that, but it needs to be two infielders each side, and we're gonna increase the base size and whatever, man.
If you can't speed your, to me, if you can't speed your own replay system up, then get rid of the replay system. In baseball is what it is, man. It's always been that. I mean, you have situations where, you know, a bad call is made and the manager comes out. That's entertainment. Entertainment, bro. Like everybody likes to see that.
Yeah.
I want to see my manager come out and kick dirt on the home plate. You know what I mean? And make him re-sweep it off. You know what I mean? It was funny to everybody. You don't even see that anymore because they've taken this type of stuff out of the game.
Yeah.
And to me, you would do better by going back to that type of stuff instead of these are gimmicks to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it is going to make people more aggressive on the base pass. Like, you know, a 3-inch bigger base, 18, you know, 18 instead of 15. That's large. That's a big difference when you're trying to steal a base and things like that. So, you know, it is what it is. But to some of these things are gimmicks, in my opinion. I don't believe in it, you know?
I'm with you. I believe it's a gimmick. I believe that this whole process of trying to make the game more enjoyable for fans You want to make it enjoyable. Speed the shit up. That's my thing. Speed it up. And you've done that. You don't need to go fucking with bases. You don't need to go taking the strategy out of the game the whole night. That's the whole process is strategy. Right. Strategize and take advantage of mismatches.
Right.
That's all it is in baseball, man. But they tend to take it where it don't need to be and start fucking with things that don't need to be fucked with. If it ain't broke, don't try to fix it.
Right.
But you want to start just speed the game up. That's all it is. Put a clock on the
balls,
pitcher,
man. Stuff like that. They take air out of the balls. They put air into the balls, trying to get people to, you know. So it's, you know, it is what it is, man. They try to make it, you know, exciting and more home runs and more hits and things like that. What about the fundamentals of the game? You know what I mean?
I'm right along with you.
Let's put it like this: if you couldn't shoot in the NBA, are you going to move the 3-point line in?
Or lower the rim if you couldn't dunk?
Yeah, you're going to make it 8 feet instead of 10. Yeah, I mean, right. That's what we're talking about with the game. So stick to the basics of the game and teach people the fundamentals. Get better at it.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Get better at it.
So, moving and transitioning gears from Major League Baseball, just a quick note on the WNBA. Again, the Las Vegas Aces are up on Connecticut Sun, one game to nothing. I hate to say that, but, you know, there's nothing appealing to me with these WNBA games, man. I just really watch the highlights. You know, I mean, the known names to me, Candace Parker, you know what I'm saying, all them with the Chicago Sky, they got put out. So, you know, that killed my interest level, you know. So, Sue Bird, none of them are in it no more.
I will say there are some, I've seen some exciting games, right? I've seen some that come down to the wire, and some of them girls be balling, right? And that's cool, but... You know, when people get upset and they say, you know, well, people, you know, you're not interested in it. Well, it's a different level of interest, right?
Yeah.
There's a different level of basketball that's being played, right?
Yes.
So, you know, it's not always enjoyable to watch, right? And I challenge people, and then, you know, women will get mad at me for saying this, but I challenge women, watch the WNBA. Why are we sitting here and we're upset that men don't watch it?
Right.
You watch it. It's your game.
Right.
Your
exactly. Game. It ain't our job to watch it.
You know what I'm saying? Like we have the NBA, right?
Exactly.
We watch that. So you watch the WNBA, but you know, I just challenge people to do that. Of course, I do watch some WNBA games, especially when the Sky are playing.
Yeah.
And I've seen some of these games. I mean, some of them come down to the wire, and you got some people that ball in the WNBA.
Some of them sisters is fine, too.
Yeah, and
some of them fine. I ain't going to knock that, you know what I'm saying? But, again, you know, I don't want to see a bunch of Lil' Hems. Not Lil' Kims, but Lil' Hems. I don't want to see a bunch of Lil' Hems running up and down the floor, bro. That's just not...
No, I don't want to see somebody dribbling with their right hand, but it look like they dribbling with their left.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm not knocking everybody, because it's some real good players.
Exactly.
But at the end of the day, man, you know, it's a different level, so you're not going to get as much support. People just need to accept that. The NBA has accepted it because the NBA is what keeps the WNBA afloat.
Facts.
And people talk about, you know, a lot of people, I hear it all the time, well, WNBA players aren't paid as much as NBA players.
Look at their revenue and what they bringing in. They ain't bringing in nothing either.
Bro, the NBA gives them money every year to pay their salaries and to pay for everything that goes on.
Yeah.
So I think it works out. The NBA is cool with it. They're boosting it up. You see people supporting it and everything like that. I even support it. I got a WNBA sweatshirt.
Yeah, I do too. A WNBA hoodie.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, you see people supporting it, but it's just never going to be
what they want it to be.
Yeah, it's never going to be that. And to me, I believe that women have to support it for it to really be, you know, take off the way they want it to. Don't be mad at men for not watching it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, again, like I said, I don't have an issue with females balling or anything like that. I love to see women ball. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
some of the best, you know, Cynthia Coopers and, you know, Lisa Cheryl Leslie's Swoops. And Rebecca Lobos and, you know, hell, Cheryl Miller's. You know what I'm saying? It's
I mean,
a bunch
right
of them.
Now, Kalia Cooper out there.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you got a lot of ballers that can play. You know what I mean? Skylar Diggins.
Yes.
You know, all of these, you know, you got a lot of them that can really hoop, you know what I mean? So, you know, shout out to them. You know, hopefully they find a way to make it more interesting and more lively for everybody to get involved. And it's not a fake thing, you know what I mean? Because that's one thing I don't like. I don't like to see it being fake, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's facts. So, now we got that out the way. Moving on to the NFL. The NFL, baby. Big news. Dak Prescott is out 6 to 8 weeks after fracturing a bone above his thumb knuckle. Right above his thumb knuckle against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That is going to you stick a fork in the Dallas Cowboys. They're done. Their season is over. 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, they got Cooper Rush coming in.
Good luck.
And they might sign Ben DiNucci back.
Good luck. You better get on the phone and try to get Jimmy Garoppolo.
Jimmy got that no trade clause. He got a situation where
He's not going to go. But at least he can start until Dak comes back. He's not starting over Trey Lance. But then again, you know, hey, it is what it is. We saw Trey Lance yesterday. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to our Chicago Bears as they took care of business yesterday against the San Francisco 49ers in the monsoon rain game. 19-13, handled business, shut all the naysayers up. But we'll save that for our other podcast, the Three Kings of the Midway. We ain't gonna get too deep into that. We're gonna try to cover everybody, but I was pumped about that win. So Dallas goes down last night at the hands of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 19-3. With Dak
they also
being
came out of there with some more injuries too. I think
absolutely
J-Ron Curse got injured.
Yeah,
he was on crutches after the game.
Yes.
And somebody else got hurt too. Somebody else came out with injury. Forgot who it was. Yeah, but somebody else came out hurt. I forgot who it was.
Speaking of injuries, the Green Bay Packers is totally getting their ass whooped. And all I have to say is, fuck the Packers. I want them to wallow in their fucking misery, you punk bitches. You deserve every... Look, you deserve all of everything that happens bad to you and only you. They looked like a team that they thought our Bears was going to look like.
Yeah.
They struggled mightily, and not only did they struggle mightily, what happened to this vaunted defense the Packers were supposed to have? It's the best defense in the league.
Man,
what happened
Justin
to that?
Jefferson went nuts.
And if he went nuts like that, imagine what Mooney's going to do next week.
They let him go crazy. Justin Jefferson went crazy. I think he had over 200 yards receiving.
Yeah. Yeah. A couple touchdowns.
Two touchdowns.
Yeah. Now imagine what Darnell Mooney is going to do with that. Not saying that Darnell Mooney is Justin Jefferson, but damn, at the same time, they kind of similar, and Mooney is a speedster. But our Bears go to Lambeau to take on the Green Bay Packers next week. And if this was ever a time to stick a fork in a
proverbial fork.
a proverbial fork in a well-done steak, this is the opportunity to do so. Straight up and down. Green Bay, life is very different without Davante Adams. Very different.
I just like to see Aaron Rodgers, the frustration he has, right?
Yeah.
When he's going off on the sideline and he's throwing stuff and he's mad, and I mean, I just love it, man. I love it. I love seeing that.
Hey.
He was in turmoil yesterday.
Sure. Oh yeah. When he made that face, man, I was sitting back. laughing my ass off, bro. Like, oh, the Packers is cooked. And their season may be over with by week 8. Christian Watson, first play, bomb down the field, hits him right in the hands, and he drops it.
Yeah. I don't think he threw the ball to him again, did he?
When he threw it to him again, it was late fourth quarter on an out route. Like, damn. Well, hey, so be it, man. So the Packers got their ass spanked. Khalil Mack with 3 sacks yesterday. Los Angeles Chargers as they narrowly escaped the Vegas Raiders. Davante Adams went to work. Yeah, he had a good game.
Yep.
Davante Adams put in work. The Buffalo Bills shocked everybody by taking care of business against the Tennessee Titans. And Coach Dabo.
No. That's the Buffalo Bills. They took care of the Rams.
No. That was the Titans. No. I'm sorry. The New York Giants. I don't know why. I'm thinking.
Dabo.
Dabo. Dabo. And the New York Giants. I'm sorry. That blue and red. I'm sorry. But the Dabo and the New York Giants. New York Giants took care of the Tennessee Titans. How crazy was that to go for two after you just scored the last touchdown and to have the stones to do that, especially with the New York media? He's like, look, it's all on me. I'll take onus on that. Yeah. You know, he was like, I take the good with the bad. If it work, it work. If it don't, it don't. But ultimately, I felt comfortable with the decision that I made. It ain't took care of business.
If anything, the first game of the season is the game to pull that off.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
When teams are not really, you know, running at optimal performance and things like that, they're slowly trying to get themselves into groove. So, yeah, the first game of the season, that was the time to pull that trick off right there. And he did it.
Oh, absolutely.
He looked like a goofball in the locker room afterwards trying to dance.
He did. Looked like he'd fuck around and pull something. Like rigor mortis trying to move and shit. But whatever. That one of the exciting games of the earlier games in the day was the Pittsburgh Steelers versus the Cincinnati Bengals. And man, that Ja'Marr Chase is a damn problem. Him and Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow threw four interceptions in the first half and shook it off and came back and put his team in a position to take the lead and win the game. But their kicker just missed it quite a few times. Got the extra point block to take the lead. Then on top of that, missed a couple field goals in overtime.
Yeah.
Shout out to Mitch Trubisky, man. You know what I'm saying? Mitch got his first dub of the season. You know what I'm saying? He didn't fold like I thought he was going to fold, but give it time.
I've seen on Twitter, somebody said Justin Fields and Mitch Trubisky are both undefeated without Matt Nagy.
Yeah, ain't that crazy? Wow.
It won't last, though.
Nah. Shots fired at Matt Nagy, but man, you know, Pittsburgh came out with that win against the Bengals. Man, that was a hell of a game, though. Hell of a game. Came all the way down to the closing seconds of overtime.
It was.
That was a hell of a game. Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown looks like they found a new connection, man. They finally got that boy a wide receiver. And A.J. Brown, 10 catches for 180-some-odd yards, a couple tutties. Man.
Yeah. And that's the thing, man. With Jalen Hurts, a lot of people was always down on, oh, can he throw the ball? Can he do this? Can he do that? Jalen Hurts is a winner, man. I told people that, you know, a long time ago when he was coming out of college, he won at Alabama. He won at Oklahoma. He was in the Heisman Trophy run at both of those schools. The dude can play football, man. And he's freaky with it, too. Like he gonna get – he put the ball down and he take off on you, too, in a minute.
Absolutely.
He run that thing, too. So, you know what I mean? He had 17 carries yesterday for 90 yards.
Yes, sir.
You know, he passed for 243 yards. No touchdowns, no interceptions, but he was efficient, man. He made the offense work. When you get a guy and you put him in a system like that, you get a guy like A.J. Brown to help him out, man – hopefully they take off, man. I was happy to see him beat the Lions, though.
Another player who went nuts yesterday, Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. I was happy for Lamar, too.
Man, who you telling? And, you know, the fact of he has it in his mind, yo, I'm going to tell you right now, yesterday's price is not today's price. Let me repeat that again, one more again. Yesterday's price is not today's price.
Not today's price.
Meaning,
every day he go out there and he earn money. He's earning money when he puts on a performance. Three touchdown passes yesterday.
Went to work, and man, the New York Jets. You coming up in my segment? You coming up in the segment in a little bit? All you Jet fans, all you Jets haters, y'all coming up in the segment. Just hold tight. Just hold tight. Yeah, we got something for that.
It's on the way.
It's definitely on the way. the Kansas City Chiefs beat the hell out of the Arizona Cardinals, man. Like, big time. That game was over with by halftime. Yeah. After you done gave Kyler Murray all that damn money.
What do you think about that, man?
I feel it was a mistake. Because, again, but again, you know, Kyler Murray got the bag, you know what I'm saying, with no DeAndre Hopkins for the first six games. But still, you should at least been competitive if you worth that type of money that you feel that you should get. You garnering that type of paper, man, you got to at least make the damn game competitive. Same thing for Aaron Rodgers. You got to at least make the damn game competitive, which, again, I told people time and time again, the Bears are going to catch a lot of people sleeping early. They're vulnerable. The Packers are vulnerable right now. Very vulnerable. And can be had. That's why I said, hey, we start the year out undefeated, 4-5 games, man. I see it happen. I can see it. Right. Especially with them believing in themselves. But also, Monday night, which is tonight as we recording, Monday night, we got the Denver Broncos and the Seattle Seahawks. I think Russell Wilson goes full scorched earth and lights Seattle up. Like, straight up lights them up. Then come off with his perm all moving and shit in the wind. Talking about, let's ride. Let's ride. You know, I just see the Denver Broncos beating the hell out of Seattle, man. And, like, he goes full scorched earth, lights him up for about 4 or 5 touchdowns. Probably about 250 plus. Ooh. I see it happen. Ooh. They playing against the Sea Donkeys. So
yeah, he's definitely going to go out there and try to prove a point. You know what I mean? Everybody wants to play well against a old team.
Yeah. Especially a team that tried to get rid of him. And you see in 2018, they said they
didn't
offered.
Try to. They did get rid of him.
Yeah. But in 2018, they tried to offer Russell Wilson for the first overall pick in the draft. How crazy is that? Yeah. I didn't know that.
In 2019?
2018.
2018. Wow. I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
Wow.
All them reports start coming out.
Wow.
So you try to get rid of your franchise QB? Like, damn.
Wow.
So, hey, it is what it is, man. But
I think Denver does win that game tonight, though.
Oh, hell yeah. Denver should whoop their ass. Man, Drew Locke at quarterback? Yeah, right. No, I'm sorry. Not Drew Locke.
It's Geno.
Even worse.
Geno Smith, yeah.
Bruh, Geno remind me of my man from, what's that whack-ass rap group, Philly's Most Wanted? That dark-skinned cat, that's a joke Marlon Wayne's lame. And ain't got no change. Look, bro, that's so much game. Y'all don't think y'all know my aim. Oh, you hear his dad in the background. Doo 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 dent dent doo dent doo dent dent doo 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 doo. Only thing that's made that song hot was that damn Neptune's beat. It was so whack. They had Ray J do a cameo in the video, bro. How whack is that? Why is Ray J there? Was that his group?
I don't know why he was there. I don't know. Like, I don't know why he was there.
Please don't mind how I pursue. Doo-doo, doo-doo. Don't take it personal, girl. That's how thugs do. That shit was terrible, bro. That shit was...
The booty!
That shit was garbage. Garbage. But hey.
Terrible stuff.
Man, going into our segment, this is where we give the bootiest of the booty to people who deserve it, you know, within this past week to ensure that this week they do not be booty. So, I'm going to go with my first box. It's going to be the New York Jets. You deserve a box of...
The booty! Oh!
All you damn Jets fans up and down Twitter, running off at the mouth about how you're this and how you're that. Y'all really thought that y'all was better than us, the Chicago Bears. You really thought you were. You thought you were. You thought you had the better quarterback, thought you had the better team, the most talent, yada, yada, yada. Then went out there and got anally raped on Sunday up and down the damn field by the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, just literally, just straight up, just turned up ass. Flipped over and done dry. Rode hard and put away wet. No kiss, no towel. You deserve all of it. So, have at it. Eat up. Big, who you got?
Excuse me. I'm going to go the Los Angeles Rams. The Super Bowl defending Los Angeles Rams.
You deserve a box of
the booty. Oh.
Matt Stafford in particular on this one. And also, you know, as a whole, as a collective, the Rams, I'm going to say, but specifically Matt Stafford and specifically the head coach, little man out there. You know what I mean?
Hey, you see Matthew Stafford try to throw that damn no-look pass, and that shit got picked off.
He had three picks on Thursday, okay?
He tried to throw that no-looker. That shit got picked off. Like, no, what you doing?
The game was close all the way through, bro. It was close all the way through, right? Why are you not running the ball? Cam Akers had three carries. Daryl Henderson had 13. Matt Stafford threw the ball 41 times for only 240 yards. That's less than 5 yards per attempt, people. Less than 5 yards per attempt.
That's sad,
bro. That's pathetic. That's pathetic. So, you know what I mean? You're a one-trick pony with Cooper Kupp. You're not passing the ball to anybody else. You know, if anybody else that gets the ball, it's a short route. Look at the other guys that was thrown to in that game. You had Cooper Kupp, who had 13 catches for 128. And this is what Stafford does. He focuses and he locks on one receiver. He did it with Calvin Johnson. He does it with his wide receivers. That's what he does. And nobody else is going to get the ball. So you get one because on ring night, raising banners, you got The Rock out there doing, if you smell what The Rock is cooking or whatever, you got all this Hollywood theatrics going on out there, and then you proceed to get blasted in the worst way, blasted by the Buffalo Bills, who is they are a playoff contender, they are a Super Bowl contender, so you went out there and you thoroughly embarrassed yourself on national television on opening night, and I was enjoying it, I loved it, because I'm not a Rams fan at all.
That's funny as hell. My next box of booty-os, sticking with the Rams and Buffalo Bills, my next box of booty-os goes to none other than our own ex number one wide receiver, Allen Robinson. You deserve a box of
the booty. Oh!
You cried and cried and cried. Said it how it was everybody else's fault for why you were phased out of the offense. No one gave you a call after the season was over. Nobody did this. Nobody did that. You had bad quarterbacks, and you didn't have the right offensive play calling. You didn't have this. You didn't have that. Then you go ahead, and you wait on the wire for a while, and then your agent, Brandon Parker, or we as we know him as B. Parker, he tries to come out and drop the bombshell that you're going to go somewhere commensurate and get in your talents and everything else, so you're going to the Los Angeles Rams. And everybody sat there and said that you were going to be a world beater and how you were going to be just a dog and a beast and this and that. And you went out and you got one catch for 12 funky ass yards. The whole game. You walking off the line, you jogging on pass plays and shit. And then the final play of the game to try to go ahead and give your last gasp, Matthew Stafford throws a fade that you didn't even go for. And then he comes back and Matthew Stafford's mouth was, he didn't go for it. He didn't even go for the ball. Yikes. Karma's a bitch, A-Rob. It really is. And I don't wish ill will on you, brother. But you know, fuck you. That's what makes, I just got to leave it at that. Because you left here so fucked up. But, you know, I get it. Whatever. But enjoy your box. And hopefully you won't be booty this Sunday. Big, who you got?
I'm going to go to the boxing world. Woo! The amateur bout that I'm going to talk about, right? One that took place on Saturday night. You get a big box, right? Big box goes to Adrian Peterson.
The booty!
Adrian Peterson.
Oh!
Ooh, wee.
That's right, people. The ex-football player, the ex-Minnesota Vikings running back, the ex, well, he's not retired quite yet, but he was retired. He was put to sleep on Saturday night. Le'Veon Bell, another former running back in the NFL for the Pittsburgh Steelers, New York Jets, Baltimore Ravens, they had an exhibition. They had an amateur boxing match. And Le'Veon Bell caught him flush and folded him up
like Indy face.
Folded him up like a folding chair, like a card table. He was folded up like a card table.
Indy face. He caught that too. It was a straight right jab too. Like poof. Like damn.
Adrian Peterson, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? I know you have tons of children and things like that. You've made some mistakes with your money. And now you have reduced yourself to getting knocked out by other former NFL players for some money.
I wonder how much he got paid to get knocked out.
I don't know. It beats me. Not enough.
I would like to see Le'Veon Bell fight the Jake Paul boy.
Well, Le'Veon Bell said he's going to try. He looked actually pretty good.
Yeah.
But Le'Veon Bell said he wants to see how far this can go. I'm like, Le'Veon, you're 30 years old. I mean, I guess that's not terribly old because you see some boxers like, you know, boxing when they're 35, 36, 37. So I guess, you know, he could probably get maybe 6 or 7 good fights in before he's 35. But
I want to see him against Jake Paul. Man. It looked like he could fight. It looked like he had a little skill to him.
Who is it? Who's Jake Paul got next? I think he got Anderson Silva.
Yeah, Anderson Silva.
He's running through the old
washed ass MMA fighters and shit. Fighters. Like he doing something.
What is Anderson Silva, like 56 or something?
Yeah, something like that.
He's like super old, bro. So, you know what I mean? But Adrian Peterson, man, what are you doing, man? You know, you're a Hall of Famer. Clearly, easily he's a Hall of Famer. And you are tarnishing, in my opinion, your legacy a little bit. By going out there and performing theatrics like this and getting knocked out. That was a knockout. It wasn't fake, people. It wasn't fake. Go look at the tape. He was knocked
spit
out.
Spit flew out his mouth.
Spit came out. He hopped up. His eyes was rolled up
in the back of his head damn.
It was crazy. Adrian, you looking bad out there. You get a box of them booty holes, man. Especially after, you know, the situation with beating your kid and the domestic disturbance you had on the airplane. Now you run up against a man and you get knocked out. It looks very bad, sir. It looks very bad.
That's funny as hell, man. My last box of booty holes goes out to no other than... I gotta think on this one, but no, I don't. It's the media, sports writers, everyone at NFL Network, all the naysayers, all the haters, all the so-be experts in the NFL game that has so much to say about our Chicago Bears and how they the worst and this and that. All you bastards get a box of
the booty. Oh,
real talk, you deserve it. And I ain't like Justin Fields said, it's no more talking. Time for talking is over. It's been too much talking going on.
Keep that energy though.
Exactly. Keep that same energy. Keep that same energy. Keep that same energy. Keep that same energy.
Colin Cowherd.
Keep that same energy. Dan Orlovsky. Keep that same energy. All you haters. Chris Sims. Keep that same energy. Keep it. Because that's giving us fuel and it's making us mature. It's making us mature in the process way further than what we would be if we didn't have the hate. So we need you to hate. Keep hating. We need it.
Keep hating. When you got haters, man, you're doing something right.
Absolutely. Always. So.
And we're not done with y'all on Three Kings of the Midway podcast.
Oh, it's going to get far worse.
Oh, we're going to open a book up on y'all.
We're
going to get somebody the business.
It's going to get far worse. So please make sure you tune in this week for the Three Kings of the Midway podcast. Again, like I said, this is a syndicate and you know, they're pretty much sister wives with each other. You know, the Big and Bright Show and the Three Kings podcast. So make sure y'all tune in. Any shout outs, Dan?
Man, shout outs to, we had a lot of people in spaces yesterday, man. We got a lot of people that's vibing with us.
Yeah.
we just doing bigger and better things, man. We looking forward to this season. We got a lot of things in store. So y'all keep rocking with us. Keep tuning in to the Big and Bright Show. Keep following me, Devory. I mean, we try to give y'all good content. We try to keep it funny. We try to keep it lively. And you know what? We try to keep it real, man.
That's all we try to do. That's all we try to do. Make sure you follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Like I said, it's definitely going down. And we got a lot in store. We definitely have a lot in store. It's so much going on, man. It's just football season is back, baby. Yeah. Football season is back, alive and well. You know, we got everything popping off. So we appreciate everything y'all got going, man. We appreciate it. You know, next week we're going to come back again. Hopefully we'll be 2-0. Next time we record and drop this episode, man, hopefully we'll be 2-0 and take care of the pack and do what we got to do, because, again, they are vulnerable. And, hey, well, you got a wounded animal in there, baby. You got to take it out. You definitely got to take it out. So, with that said, go ahead and lead us out. Deuce and Sama.
Thanks for listening, everybody. See you next time.